Welcome to the Hope Elim Podcast.
We are a diverse church in the heart of Des Moines, seeking to bring God's kingdom as we live more like Jesus.
We hope that what you're about to hear points you to Jesus Christ. Know that we're praying for you and look forward to connecting with you soon.
He is risen.
He's risen indeed.
Amen. We love great stories. Stories are the language of the heart. They speak to us in a way that almost nothing else can. We were created to live in a story that's larger than us. We love stories full of great beauty and maybe even battles to fight or a journey that must be taken, obstacles that must be overcome. And certainly at just the point when we think that all hope is lost, a hero or heroine comes to save the day and set things straight. Can you remember back to childhood when you were growing up? What were your favorite heroes? Who did you dress up to be? Who did you pretend to be in a much larger story? Oh, we were created for an epic adventure, for a beautiful story that you're a part of today. But the thing is, that desire, that longing, well, it didn't end with childhood.
Every great story has a unique setting, a setting that tends to pull you into the story. In the setting, there's typically a controversy, a challenge, or a conflict. Let's call it a situation. Most situations, there's trouble, there's turmoil, there's tension. And in it, that tends to be the thing that leads to a struggle. Struggles, yes, they all have a journey to be taken. There's always an obstacle to overcome. There's always a battle to be fought. But I've learned that it is in the setting. It is in the very situation, it's in the struggle that we realize that we need something bigger, someone bigger than we are. It is in that moment that we realize that we can't do life alone. I've learned that oftentimes, for me, it is not a matter of how big my issue is, how big my hero. And I've learned the case that oftentimes when we think about what God is doing in our lives, we kind of get caught up because we think that life is about our situations and our settings and our struggle. But we need to know that God has a plan for all of our lives. And in that situation, when we think about all that God has done and all that he can do, nothing is impossible for God because he is more than able. No.
We need heroes. We were created to need heroes. And I don't know what you think about when you think of heroes. Maybe what first comes to mind is a superhero or from a comic book or something like that. And above the surface, you know, they're fast and they're brave and they're strong, or maybe they wear a cape or tights or whatever it is. Maybe it's a superhero, but I think if you'll look underneath the surface, what heroes all have in common is a deep passion, a desire, dedication to their cause, even a deep, deep love and a willingness even to sacrifice, to give anything, even to give their own life for those that they love. We need heroes.
We do. Oftentimes we get confused. We think that heroes are just in Hollywood. We think that heroes are the people that we see on the big stage, on the big screen. Sometimes we think our heroes are those folks who are being touted in society, but really there are heroes all around us. Ordinary people. There's so many unsung heroes in our lives, people who have stepped into our lives, stood up with us in our situation, showed up in the middle of our struggle. And those people are ordinary people, unsung heroes, people don't get the credit that they deserve. They're unlikely heroes, people with a past, people who have struggled, people who have made some mistakes. But the Bible's littered with people that are unlikely heroes. But what we want to draw your attention to is not necessarily just the unsung heroes, the moms, the dads, the parents, the grandmom, the granddads, and not just those who are unsung, But the ultimate hero, he's the one we want to point you to this morning, because with him, all things are possible.
The reason you love, have always loved the movies, the stories, the books, the films, everything you've ever loved, anything in a story that's ever tugged your heart, is God reaching out to you this morning and saying, you were created for that. Every great story borrows its plot from the larger story, from God's story, which is your story, which you're living in today. And there are battles to be fought. There's a journey to be taken. There's mountaintops and valleys and everything in between. And we do come up against things that are bigger than us, that we can't conquer on our own, our sin and our death. And that's why we need something way more than a movie star or a great superhero. We need the ultimate hero. And so this morning, we want to talk to you not just about heroes. We want to talk to you about the truth that he rose. Amen. Everybody say he rose. He rose. And we have an ultimate, ultimate hero. And his name is Jesus. But before we get to the empty tomb, much has happened in the story to get us to this moment.
Come on. What's your setting? What's your surrounding? What's your atmosphere at home and in your life? What's the milieu? What is the tenor of your setting? What's your situation this morning? Like your predicament or your issue? We're going to get to joy, but sometimes before joy, we got to deal with the pain. Because we all have some issues in our lives. What's your struggle this morning? What are you wrestling with? What are you grappling with? What are you fighting with this morning? See, it's not until we get to the limits of our human ability. It's not until we kind of done all that we can do, we get to the end of our rope, and we've done everything, and our back against the wall, that we realize that we need some help, an advocate, a champion, someone to step in to our situation. So I stop just for a little bit, stop by to just set the tone, set the scene, set the setting, and deal with where we are in this text. The Bible starts off where it talks about that it was early. It was before the usual time. It was early. You know, there's some benefits of getting to wherever you're going, get there early. When it's early, it's a time frame that is set apart. And the only way you get there early is if you make an intentional act or sacrifice. If you're gonna be early, you've gotta get up, get going, and get out front. Early is something that we all can do. We come to the church house, we go to our jobs, but sometimes our setting is so unusual, but we keep doing the same thing. We've got to do something different. In order to do something different, we've got to potentially get there early. Listen, the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning, the first person you ought to speak to, the first thing you ought to consider is your relationship with an almighty God. Before your issue, before your situation, before considering your struggle, let's consider the Savior. What is the setting this morning? Bible says that it was not only early, but it was still dark. Sometimes we try to get there early. We try to make some change in our lives. We try to do some things differently. We try to come to church, go to Bible study, do all these things, but it's still dark. Life can be dark sometimes. Life can be hard sometimes. Sometimes you try to go and get that diagnosis, you try to deal with that relationship, you try to work on those finances, but it's still dark. Bible said it was early, it was still dark, but it was Sunday morning. And on Sunday morning, that's important because it was Sunday, a week ago, that there was a king that rode into town. And the people shouted, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed be the name of the Lord. Just a week ago. And in the setting at that time, he said, if the people don't cry out, the rock's going to cry out. Right. On that Monday, he went into the temple and he turned over tables. The setting there was a little tenuous. It was some turmoil because they were selling doves and selling all kinds of things in the church. He said, my Father's house won't be a den of thieves. It's going to be a house of prayer. Come on. On Tuesday, he went to the synagogue and he taught all day long. Wednesday and then Thursday, he went to the upper room and they had the Last Supper. The king, the ultimate hero, he paused for enough time to give a mandate to his disciples as he got down and he washed their feet. And then he gave them a mandate. He said, love each other the way I have loved you. What is your setting this morning? The mandate is that we love the way Jesus loves us. After that, he left the upper room and he went to the garden. And he left the disciples for a while and he went off to pray. He said, Father, if this situation, if this thing that I'm assigned to do, if it could pass me by. And then the second time when he doubled back, he said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. And then we find on Good Friday, after they arrested him on Thursday, they crucified our Lord. We're talking about the setting. He was crucified on Friday. They put him in a borrowed tomb. Saturday was the Sabbath. But as early as she could come, as soon as she come, she came to the tomb. She came as quickly as she could while it was still dark. Can you imagine this woman coming in the dark alone to a graveyard where there's death and despair? What is your setting? What's your surrounding this morning? She came and she pressed her way through the darkness. She pushed her way through fear. She understood that there were some expectations, and for her, she was confused. Mary came early in the morning while it was still dark, but she came to anoint the body of Christ. But I don't know, she just was showing up, and then she found the rock was rolled away. The uncertainty that she was filled with, this woman came because she was driven. She had at some point been delivered from 7 demons. And Mary Magdalene was, from that moment she was set free by Jesus, she never stopped following. No matter her situation, no matter her struggle, no matter the fears, no matter how dark, she was there at the cross and she's here at the tomb. The setting here is one that is tenuous. She came and she was alone, by herself. But not only the setting, her situation. Jesus had been buried in a borrowed tomb. She watched as they hung him high. She watched as he dropped his head and the locks of his shoulders. And he gave up the ghost. So here she is, this woman coming to this graveyard, coming to this setting. And the Messiah, the one that she had put all her hope in, he's dead. She watched him on the cross. She knew that they took him and buried him. The one who they put all their hope in, he's gone. You know, sometimes our struggle is because sometimes the unlikely heroes and the unsung heroes that comes in our lives, sometimes we mistakenly put everything into them. And then when they're gone, we struggle. They thought Jesus would come and deliver them from Roman oppression. They thought the Messiah would come. He was the one they'd been waiting. And now he's gone. That's the situation. But I stopped by to tell somebody, in the middle of the situation, you know what he says? Jesus says, come unto me. All ye that are burdened, that are weary, that have heavy laden, that got stuff that you've been carrying that don't belong to you. He said, come unto me. Yoke up with me. Connect with me. He said, I'm going to take all of your stuff on myself. In the middle of this story, in the middle of the situation, I'm saying to all of us, Jesus said, come unto me. He said, I'll take care of your situation. And then the struggle. It says, look, she ran and found community. She found Peter and she found the other disciple who was John. He said, look, I don't know where they took him. I don't know where they brought him. He's not there. Maybe she wasn't remembering what he said they would rise again. But for her, her situation led to a struggle. There's grief and despair. Somebody came in here this morning with grief and despair. And no matter how you got there, you need something. You need someone bigger than you. The struggle is real. When you are caught up and you're wrapped up in grief and despair and you're lost, you don't know where to go. You've been trying to find community. You've been trying to find your way. It's been one dead end after another. Maybe you hear some more good news. Psalm says, look, I know the night is long sometimes. I know we may have to cry out. We may even have to grieve and weep and mourn because of the one that was lost. But the good news is weeping, sure enough going to be a part of the night, but joy. Hold on to the joy. Joy is coming. It's coming today. I'm just setting it up, but joy is coming. Sometimes, though, before we get to the morning time, we got to go through the night. Before you get to the resurrection, you got to go through the crucifixion. Before there's exaltation, sometimes there's humiliation. For somebody, the struggle is almost over. And I'm saying the reason we could have joy, because he's risen. Because he rose. Because he got up out of the grave. And because he rose, we shall too. Yes, unlikely heroes. Yes, unsung heroes. But we've got to pay attention to the ultimate hero. He is risen. Listen, hold on to your seats. Pastor John is going to bring this home. And we're going to use risen, R-I-S-E-N. Get all of it. Write it down. Hold it close, because it's time. Amen?
R-I-S-E-N. He is risen. And right in the middle of a hopeless setting, situation, and struggle, the ultimate hero comes back from the dead. Right in the middle of the situation, our hero, our ultimate hero, comes to save the day. It was Mary that went to the tomb. The stone's been rolled away. She's got to tell somebody. She doesn't know what's going on. And so she runs to get Peter and John, as you saw earlier in the service. And they run. There's lots of running in the Easter story. And then a little bit of humor mixed right in the middle of the Easter story. John, the author of the gospel that we are reading, says, actually, I got there first, you know, a little humble brag in the middle of the scripture reading there. But it was actually Peter that comes bushing past him and pushes past and gets into the tomb and goes and finds the linens, finds Jesus's old grave clothes, because if you're alive, you don't need your old grave clothes anymore. Amen? And so he goes, and it was at that moment that they remembered. We pick up the story in verse 8 and 9 of chapter 20. It says, then the disciple who had reached the tomb first, John, also went in, and he saw and believed. For until then, they hadn't understood the scriptures that said Jesus must rise from the dead. It was at that moment that they remembered. Remembered. And maybe for some of you, that's God's first step for you today, is to remember that God has not given up on you. God has not abandoned you. Maybe God's first step for you today is to remember when you first put your faith in him. Do you remember when you first believed? Maybe it was long ago. Remember when you were a child, before innocence was lost, before the hurt and the heartache, before the divorce, before the church hurt. Remember when God was so real to you and you felt so connected to him, when there was that fire inside of you? I've got really good news for you this morning. You can have that back. Jesus is reaching out to you, offering that opportunity, that relationship to you today. Remember, God has you here this morning for a reason. Remember that God can do the impossible. R-I, impossible. We have a God who can do the impossible. That's why we need superheroes, right? We wouldn't need a hero if we could do it ourselves, right? When we're up against it, we need a hero, and we have a God who has done the impossible. And I get it. You hear a story of a man that predicts his own death and resurrection, and then I guess he did it. And in a crowd this size, I'm guessing there's a number of you that are like, I don't know about that. Like, this is a great, cute little Easter service and everything. Did that actually happen? Well, you're not alone. This is a doubter-friendly church a skeptic-friendly church. And if you've got questions, if you've got doubts, if you've got fears, like, I don't know if that actually happened, people have been trying to do that for 2,000 years. But here's the thing. Sometimes it's in the process that we discover the promise. You got to ask the questions. You got to keep coming back. Do not check your brain at the door of this church. Come in. Dig into it for yourself. Ask the questions. Come to Bible study. Get in community. Ask for yourself. And what you'll discover is that, as many have, is that in the weeks and days following the resurrection, Jesus appears in bodily form to over 500 witnesses. So come, ask your questions, bring your doubts, and what you're going to discover, as millions of people have, is that at some point, it's going to take more faith to not believe than to believe because of the mounds of evidence that Jesus is alive. Amen? Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. I think about the speaking of heroes, Muhammad Ali once had this quote that says, "Impossible is nothing." It actually became the motto for the Adidas sporting company, some of your shoes or your pants. Impossible is nothing. Jesus has done the impossible. He has stared our sin, your sin, my sin, our death in the face. And he has conquered it. What we could not defeat on ourselves, he put death to death once and for all, so that you don't have to fear the end of your life and go, "Well, I don't know what's going to happen. I hope I'm a good enough person." You can know that you know that you know today that you are going to spend eternity with him. You don't have to wait. And if Jesus has done the impossible in conquering sin and death, what is the impossible situation in your life that he cannot overcome?
Nothing.
Nothing is impossible with God. And it's not just a story that happened 2,000 years ago. It's happening all around us. In this church, there is resurrection in the air at Hope Elim. God is doing a new thing here. And there's story after story of God doing the impossible. Marriages being restored. Sicknesses being healed right here, right in front of me, with ordinary people praying for each other. Sickness is healed. Addictions broken. The walls of prejudice and racism coming down. I mean, look around you. You tell me that God can't do the impossible in the most segregated hour of Sunday morning. You're sitting in a church. We're black and brown and white and young and old and rich and poor and city and suburb and Republican and Democrat and everywhere in between are worshiping together. Seriously, if you doubt God, Hawkeyes and Cyclones worship together in this church, okay? And somehow, we have discovered that the Jesus that unites us is stronger than the differences that can divide us. Amen? And we will not give in to that. God can do the impossible. And he's knocking on the door of your heart. Your impossible thing is you just show up to church a couple times a year and like, "I'm just going to go through the motions and do my thing." And you don't even know that you've had a head-on collision with the Savior of your soul, the one who created you. And he has been pursuing you with his love since the day you were born. And even though you've changed, he has never changed. Your situation might have changed, but he never left. And he's closer to you than you could ever imagine. He's knocking on the door of your heart right now. "Oh, I just came for an Easter service." Uh-oh, he's got bigger plans for you than that. He's reaching out to grab a hold of your heart to have a relationship with you. Nothing is impossible with God. R-I-S. Nothing's impossible. Including our sin, including salvation. You see, we got an issue. We got a struggle. And there are some things in our life, like my own sin, I can't overcome it on my own. You can't overcome it on your own. I don't need another book that's 7 helpful tips to a happy life. I need a savior. I need rescue, right? I need a hero. I don't need tips and techniques. We need saving. And on Easter, we have one, and he's reaching out to you. I don't know why, but this last week, I went all the way back to college, and one of the classes I took in mass communication, our professor showed us this graphic in a secular communications class, and it's called the salvation despair cycle. And this pertained to technology. that for hundreds of years, whenever a new item of technology came out, this cycle repeats itself over and over and over again. There's a new thing. There's a new gadget. There's a new device. And all of us go, that's it. I got to have that. I got to get me one. I got to get one for all of our family. And then I'll be happy. Then I'll have peace. Then I'll have, that's it. And then the newness wears off after a while and we go, oh, but there's something new. And I flip back around and maybe that'll be my savior. Maybe that'll be the thing that fills me up. And then it just lets you down. And we still don't have any peace and we still don't have any joy and we still don't have any hope. And what I realized is that you can put anything in that cycle. All the things that we go running to in this life looking to save us. Maybe it is for you your phone and it's scrolling and you just scroll and every morning when you wake up, the first thing you do and every night before you go to bed, you just lay there because you can't sleep and you're just scrolling for one more hit of dopamine, one more little affirmation or affection or a like or a love or a follow because I'm just so desperate to be known. I just want to be loved. I just want to be seen. And so I'll post things and I'll post pictures of myself or anything just to get some attention because I'm so desperate to be known. You will never be more significant than you are right now as a son or daughter of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You don't have to run looking to be known. You are known. Some of you, it's scrolling. For some of you, it's like, oh, my salvation, my rescue, it's going to come from the next season of my life. See, man, when I graduate, oh, then life will be good. Then I'll have peace. Well, actually, I got to get that perfect job. Actually, you know what? When I get married, then it'll be great. Actually, you know, then I won't be lonely anymore once I find that person. And maybe for you, it's, oh, now I want to have kids because I know when I have kids, then that'll make marriage even easier. No, it won't. It'll actually make it harder, okay? And that's why we need Jesus. Amen? We need Jesus. Here's the thing, whatever season of life you find yourself in, all the way to retirement, we're going to get to the end of our lives and we're going to look back and go, that wasn't it. I thought what I needed was always out there and it turns out it was right in front of me and it was a relationship with the God that created me. And he was with me the entire time. Where do you put your efforts for peace and joy and hope in your life? Oh, we need something more than that. You're going to come to a moment in your life where you realize there's got to be something more to life than this. And if you will listen to that ache in your soul, I've got good news for you this Easter. There is so much more. The message of the gospel, the message of the Bible, the message of Christianity, the message of this broken, imperfect church called Hope Elam is that there is a God who loves you more than you could ever imagine. One of the most famous verses in all of Scripture, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, for God so loved you, that he gave you his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. That is the good news. The good news is that Jesus took all of our sin and our death and he nailed it to the cross. He went there in our place, taking the penalty that we deserved, and in exchange offers us salvation, eternal life, forgiveness, now and forever. That's where salvation comes from. You don't get salvation by being good enough. Some of us are going to get to heaven and come to the startling realization that heaven is not full of a bunch of good people. Heaven is full of a bunch of broken, imperfect people that have been saved by God's amazing grace. Amen? Salvation is not something that we get by being good enough or moral enough or religious enough. It's a gift, and you receive the gift of eternal life. R-I-S-E, eternal life. That's the gift. And you receive it. If you've never received that gift before, it's not complicated. All you do is what Peter and John did that first Easter, is that you go in at not your friend, not your mom and dad's faith, not your grandparents' faith. You go in and you experience the resurrection for yourself. And like Peter and John, you say, I believe. I believe. And for some of you, it stayed up here. And the longest distance some of us are going to travel in our lives is the 18 inches from here to here. So that it can be real for you again. Receive the gift. What is your plan for eternity? What is your plan for death? I know you don't want to think about it. It's Easter and we want to keep it cheery, but death comes for us all. It's unavoidable. The current death rate is 1 out of 1, 100%. It comes for us all. What's your plan for eternity? I don't want to think about that, Pastor John. I'm young and I'm just focused on the here and now. I just want to be happy. So what am I supposed to tell the couple in our church whose funeral we hosted for their 40-something son? And this is their first Easter without him, with an empty spot at the Easter table. What am I supposed to tell the lady that came up for prayer last week and said, I've got cancer all over my body and it's spreading and they don't know how long I have? What am I supposed to tell my dear friends, a young couple in our church family that just lost their baby at 12 weeks and they just told people? We're pregnant, we're expecting from the highest of highs to the lowest of lows. What do you do in that moment? And this is when the Easter gospel gets very, very clear and important. It gets raw and it gets real, because you can put on your Easter clothes and have your Easter brunch, but at the end of the day, you got to ask yourself, where have I placed my hope? What am I going to do when there's nowhere else to turn? You do what the disciples did and they say, Lord, to whom shall we go? There's nobody else but you. And you latch yourself and you cling to the anchor to your soul, the one who said, I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus Christ. You cling yourself to him. That is the only hope we have. What's your plan for eternity? And I don't want anybody to walk out of here today going, I don't know, because you can know that you know. What are you going to do with the eternal life, with the gift that you've been given? Because when we've been given an incredible opportunity, you got to do something with it. Peter, John heard the news. They didn't say, I don't know if I can work it into my schedule today. They dropped everything and ran. Because when you've been presented with the opportunity of a lifetime, you don't wait. You go and experience it. And in a much less important, but still very exciting example, my son and I, my 10, and now as of a few hours ago, my 11-year-old son, who was born on Easter 11 years ago and is now 11, happy birthday to him, we have been cheering for the Hawkeyes. And yes, the women, the men, okay, cheering for the Iowa Hawkeye women's basketball team. And I'm sorry if you're an Iowa State fan today, happy Easter to you. I'm moving on to the Hawkeyes, okay? So let me tell you about it, okay? We have been watching them all year, and they make it to the second round of the NCAA tournament. We think, oh, just watch it on TV with the 5 million other people that are going to be tuning in for the most watched women's basketball broadcast ever, okay? We think we're going to watch this game. They're going to play West Virginia. Last week, one of our dear friends comes up and says, hey, Pastor John, I don't know if you, I got a couple extra tickets to the game in Carver Hawkeye Arena. And I look at her and I go, I don't know. I don't know if I can work that into my schedule. Are you kidding? I said, of course we'll go, right? I said, you are my brand new hero right now. Of course we'll take him. And I'm driving there, and you know you get that feeling sometimes when you receive a gift that you know you don't deserve, that all of life is grace. And I don't know if you don't believe in God or on anything to do with Jesus. You woke up this morning with breath in your lungs, and that's a gift, and that's a miracle. Amen. I know, it's weird, they're Hawkeye tickets, but we go, and we have the time of our lives. And I'm driving back, it's like 11:30 at night, Caleb's conked out in the back seat, and I just look back, and it hits me. I wouldn't have missed that opportunity for anything. It's a women's college basketball game. You were created to experience Jesus. Not come to a church service a couple times a year for an hour. You are meant to know the God that created you, to experience him, to go into the tomb yourself, to have a relationship with him. When you have been presented with this opportunity, you don't wait. You don't say, I don't know, I don't have time to work it into my schedule. I got better things to do. We're going to get serious about faith when the kids are older, or when I get married, or when the kids are out of the house, or whenever it is. When is that day going to come? Today is the day of salvation. Don't wait. Don't wait. And so you receive the gift, you receive the invitation to have a relationship with Jesus, and you get connected with a loving church family, not a perfect church. We're far from it. And it doesn't have to be this church. We're a big fan of all the Bible-based, Jesus-centered churches in Des Moines. Find a church and plug in, not because it's perfect. Every church you go to is going to be a church full of hypocrites. Welcome. You're one of them. Okay? Join a church. Get plugged in. Be known. Be loved. Find your purpose in community, not in isolation. Jesus, the ultimate hero, has come for you. And the invitation of Easter is salvation and eternal life, now and forever. Don't miss the opportunity that's right in front of your face today. And this life, the good news is that this new life is not something that you have to wait for. Someday in the clouds in heaven. Good news, Jesus says. Heaven has come to earth. He's here for you. And this new life is available to you right now, here today. R-I-S-E-N.
Way too often, we spend so much time forgetting the things we ought to remember and remembering the things we ought to forget. It's too much. We're carrying too much stuff that does not belong to us. God has called us to lay it down, to give it over to Him, to now step into the newness of life, that there's been some old clothes, some old things, some old issues that we've had, even our old situations and struggles. He now wants us to step into the newness of life. So whatever it is that's been a part of your setting, a part of your situation or struggle that you've been carrying, you've been holding on to, you think it belongs to you. You've been given some strips of linen, some, let's call it some old grave clothes. Write on it the word, the phrase, the thing, whatever would fit, that you would be open to coming and laying it down. Because I guarantee you, if you write it and you lay it, he gonna take it.
This is not just a story that happened long ago. You've been written into the story. And there are some stories, three stories in particular, from your friends, your family here at Hope Elam that are sitting amongst you today that we want to share with you as we close, that they realized it's time to move from old to new, from death to life, that there is some old grave clothes that they've been carrying around for a long time. And I don't know your story, but he does. And your story matters to God. And so as you watch, as you take out your linen, as you watch these stories, consider what word or phrase God may be calling you to write and lay it down today. And as we watch this together, consider what happens when God transforms your story.
Most people would feel extremely blessed to witness or experience a single miracle in a lifetime. Corey has had several, but the one that was most noticeable was when he finally gained the ability to speak.
We were told that he never would, so we started to learn sign language and other ways to communicate with him. At the age of 5, Corey had no words. He could make sounds, but couldn't put them together to form words. At 5 and a half, he said, "Mama," for the very first time. And shortly thereafter, he spoke his very first sentence, "I am happy today." And we were all happy in that moment.
The details behind those several months are more than we have time for, but God was all over it and showed up and showed off in so many ways. Our heroes, we call them earth angels, are everyone who pointed us to or acted as the hands and feet of Jesus throughout our journey. One in particular is Mary Ann. An example of God in the details is that he orchestrated our meeting in Lamaze class with our first children.
Mary Ann was the first to hold Corey beside his parents. And as a special ed teacher, she helped us navigate the early years of advocating for and leveraging resources that were available to us. To this day, she calls him every morning, Monday through Friday, to connect on her way to work to where she teaches at her school. She is without question our unlikely hero, and a model of what it looks like to be an earth angel, especially to Corey.
Growing up, I grew up here in the United States, but I came from a foreign country, which is Africa, East Africa. It was pretty difficult when I first got to the U.S., speaking a different language, going to school, and having everything different than what you're usually seeing. And just even just being African, it wasn't pretty popular. Going to school, walking in the hallway, and people just looking at you different. Going to basketball games, even though like we play great, they'll call us like dark screen TVs. So it just led up to like a lot of anger. So it's a lot of hurt that came and caused in my life. Consider my brother, like my junior year of high school, he slid through. You know, during that time, you know, I was basically in the streets. Basically, like, we were doing activities, like productive activities. It didn't really give me time to be in the streets, getting in trouble, getting in a fight, getting in shootouts, just because he was there and he was like, yo, now and then we'll talk about the Bible, like every night before I go to the crib. Having him around was like the first time, like, I can, like, yo, I can be a little brother. And he just always been around my life ever since.
The year 2020 was a year of challenge and clarity for many people. For us, it wasn't our marriage. We had to get really honest about things that had happened over the years within our marriage and how hurtful those things were. We were questioning if we could move on and if God could heal our childhood trauma and the broken foundation we built our marriage on.
We feared that our marriage was going to crumble in the midst of trying to heal. But God sent Pastor Ben from Hope West Des Moines to speak truth, love, and life into us individual and met with us until we truly believed it.
In 2022, we decided that it was time to renew our vows and recommit ourselves to each other and to God.
It was time to really build our marriage on a solid foundation.
What we learned from our hero is the value of showing up. What we also learned from Jesus is that when somebody's going through something hard, to be like Jesus, we need to show up.
Coming to Christ, it's like you can tell him about anything. He knows you, certain of no condemnation. That comfortability led also to my confidence of me. I feel accepted.
And we can both truly say that God is a way maker, a healer, a restorer, and a redeemer. He can restore anything that is broken. All you have to do is have faith.
There is a shifting that is ready to happen in this place. Whatever it is that you've been carrying much too long, it's time to lay it down. In fact, we are a call and response church in many ways, so if I say come, you say lay it down. Come?
Lay it down.
Come on, use the 11 o'clock. Come?
Lay it down.
Listen, all your burdens, all your cares, all your stuff, your situation, your struggles, write it on there. I guarantee if you write it, you bring it, you lay it, he gonna take it. Come.
Lay it down.
Lay it down. This is the opportunity. The message of Easter is that he rose. Not he rose. He rose. And the invitation of Easter is to lay it down. Whatever it is, your pain, your grief, your sorrow, your fear, your disappointment, your church hurt, your baggage, your burdens, your wounds, whatever it is, God knows. He knows your story. And it's not, the power is not in writing it down. It's not in this going through the motions today. It's in surrendering it to him. We worship a God who can do the impossible. This is for every single one of us today. Even if you're worshiping online, you got something. Write it down and lay it down. And he'll take it. And so we want to invite you to do that right now. Hopefully all of you got that strip of linen, these old grave clothes, as they were this morning. Take that out, and if you haven't already, write that word or that phrase that God's calling you to lay down. And what we're gonna do in just a moment is we're gonna invite all of you. Yes, even if you're in the balcony, we'll wait. I don't have anywhere to go. We don't have anywhere to go. We'll wait for you. He'll wait for you. Come down when you're ready, and we're just gonna invite you to come up on this side of the stage, and we're gonna invite you not to hear about Easter, we're gonna invite you to experience resurrection, to go through the tomb yourself, just as Jesus did, and lay down those old grave clothes, to come out, and you can, here's my challenge for you. I've yet to see somebody do it. I wanna see some victory. I wanna see some pumping it up. When you come through there, I wanna see some victory and celebrating what God has done. You come out through the grave, you can come down the middle, you can go down the side, and go back to your seat, stand, worship with us. The band's gonna be playing for as long as they need to play, and we will wait for you. If you need prayer, we'll have prayer partners up here during this time and after the service as well. We'll close it up sometime. eventually. But it's time, whatever you've got, to lay it down. Pastor Brian?
It's time.
It's time.
All your cares, all your burdens, come.
Lay it down.
Come.
Lay it down.
Come on, Doc. Let's do it.
Thanks so much for joining us. To find out more about Hope Elim, follow us on Instagram at hope.elim or visit our website at hope-elim.org.